evidence of legal entry. So whether it's a wave through, all the evidence and testimony that's going to be presented, proffers of testimony if necessary for the wave through, or if they're 245I, you want to show the 245I evidence, the prior petition or the grant petition that they're grandfathered under, plus proof that the fee was paid, which we pay not to courts. Courts don't accept any fees. We have sent to USCIS.
The next screen is going to tell you how to do that.
Right, with the 245A application. So you want to include that 245A application. Or evidence of legal entry there, I-94, whatever. And then discretionary evidence. You want to show, courts are, it almost seems rote in USCIS cases that if they're not inadmissible, pretty much the discretion is going to be granted. Some judges are more difficult to convince as far as discretion, so you want to include all your discretionary evidence. Don't forget, if they are 245I, you need to also show the proof of physical presence on December 21st, 2000, if they are the direct beneficiary of a petition filed between 98 and 2001. Oh, and the medical exam. So the medical exam, filing the medical exam with the IJ is a little tricky because, you know, you're supposed to two-hole punch everything and you can't open the envelope. So usually what I do is unless it's in one of those, because I'm getting huge envelopes in my medical exam, I'll either, if it's there, I'll just, attach it as best I can, like with tape, to a sheet of paper, and then two-hole punch the paper that's taped on and send that in. How many of y'all have done an adjustment status in proceedings? Okay, cool. Because I was like, if everybody already knows how to do this. Don't forget how you file this is different than with USCIS, because you have to show you have to send a clear copy of the 485 and the 485A with all the fees. So the 1225 and the 1000. What you do not send to the court, you send the 485, 485A if necessary, and the I-864. Do not send the court your I-765 and your I-131. They do not care. They don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that. Now, after you get the receipt back from the Texas Service Center, or if you are just renewing before the judge, when you get the I-765, do not get a I-131. But you can keep renewing the work permits, of course, by showing the original seat for the 485 and showing that the 485 has been used. So you want to take a stamp, a copy of the 485. This might be one of those things you do in person, or when you file it with the court, send a self-addressed stamped envelope, as well as an extra copy for you, so that the court will send you back a stamped copy. Now, for ECAS cases, for brand new cases with ECAS, I do not know how that's going to work.
I have no clue. So do not ask me.
I assume they'll probably be able to print out, because everything that you file is in there, so I assume you will be able to show at least a printout that your 485 has been filed with the court. And then you would send that with your 765 and the original receipt for when you filed it affirmatively with USCIS to renew the person's work permit. That's what I assume you'll be able to do.
How are you going to file the medical exam?
With ECAS, you can't do that. Yeah, you're going to have to mail it in. You have to mail it, or perhaps take it to court. Because really, you can't open it. The judge can open it that same day. There's really nothing, rarely have I ever had anything,
I wonder if the doctors are going to, well, no, because I wouldn't be able to get on ECAS to do it.
Mm-mm. Never mind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll find out. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you serve a copy of the medical exam to OCC? The best you can do is you file a copy of the envelope at the hearing. When the judge opens the sealed envelope, it has a copy inside that the judge will hand to DHS. So judge will complete the service of the rest of what's in that envelope for you.
Except that our DHS is not in court.
Yeah, I know. I again, who knows? These are all issues. I think what happened, because I had an adjustment where that was the case, and I think the judge said that they would email it to him or something. And I think even the OCC was like,
oh, here's a good question. Can you file an I-45 requesting registry before an immigration judge as a form of relief? Do you need a birth certificate for the respondent? Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Registry, definitely. If you have, if you're so fortunate as to have a client that has a registry,
yeah,
that would
right.
be great. And do you need a birth certificate for the respondent?
You do need a birth certificate for the respondent. If you do not have a birth certificate for the respondent, look to the FAM, the Foreign Affairs Manual. And whatever country your client's from, you want to look at the reciprocity tables. Go to the reciprocity tables, go to the country where your client is from, and in there it'll tell you how to get civil documents and what to do if a civil document is unavailable. But it better be unavailable. It better not be that, you know, I washed it. No, you have to go get an, you know, and for some countries, like if it's Mexico, you can get a birth certificate. There has to be really good reason why you can't get it. But the FAM will tell you. If there are good reasons, if there are indeed good reasons, then the FAM will be able to instruct you on how to do that. But for registry, you would file basically the same way, except you don't need, obviously, the visa petition, but you do need tons of documentation about them being in this country for 50 years.
There's another question. What's the best way to get stale fingerprints updated?
I don't know they get stale anymore.
Yeah,
they do.
I actually suspect they don't get stale anymore either, because with COVID they started, you know, reusing people's biometrics, and we have a case where we filed a NATS for a client whose green card was going to expire, and he hasn't been printed anymore.